And now, Don Blackwell.
Death has occupied the minds of men since, I guess, nearly the beginning. But despite man's constant probing, many questions have been left unanswered. And one generation passes away, and the next one takes up the quest. Biology has sought to offer a scientific explanation for death. Philosophy has sought to offer a rational view. History testifies to its universality, and poetry softens its effects. But despite all of this, without the revelation of God, death remains a mystery, and men continue to search. To many people, death is their greatest fear, and they use all of their means to postpone it. I read a story about a woman who had become very ill and was confined to bed. The woman and her husband had decided that it was not best to tell their 8-year-old daughter about her illness. One afternoon, the doctor was visiting. The little girl stood outside the bedroom, listening. She overheard the doctor tell her mother. He said, "I'll be frank with you, the time is not far off. Before the last leaves have gone from the trees, you will die." Sometime later, the little girl's father came down to the breakfast table expecting to find his daughter, but she was not there. After searching for her, he found her in the front yard, and his heart was broken to find her picking up the leaves that had begun to fall, and with tiny threads tying them back to the limbs of the trees. Now, friends, that's a very touching story, but we all know the truth that death cannot be stopped. Death cannot be prevented. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." We are going to die. Now, to the unbeliever, that is a fact of hopelessness and despair. Ingersoll, a very eloquent man and a renowned unbeliever, said at the funeral of his brother, he said, "While in love with life and raptured with the world, he passed to silence and pathetic dust. Life is a narrow veil between the cold and barren peaks of two eternities." He said, "We strive in vain to look beyond the heights. We cry aloud, and the only answer is the echo of our wailing cry. From the voiceless lips of the unreplying dead, there comes no word." Now, friends, that was his view of death, and that's very sad. Do you see the hopelessness of unbelief? Do you hear the despair in his statement? But friends, I want to tell you that Christians should view death very differently. One man described death this way. He said, "Death is not an extinguishing of the light. It's only putting out the lamp because the dawn has come." I like that because to a Christian, to the faithful child of God, death is something that is great. And that's why our question in the lesson today is so important. That's why our question is more than just a point of curiosity. For the next several minutes, I want us to consider the question, shall we know one another in heaven? Shall we know one another in heaven? I've oftentimes heard death described as a reunion. Will it be? When I pass from this life into eternity and eventually into the realms of heaven, will I see and know my brethren who have gone on before me? Will I see again my mother and my father who instilled in me those Christian principles, who showed me the way? Some people would say no. Some people would say that in heaven we will not know one another. I want to examine this question today. Shall we know one another in heaven? First, I want to discuss the implications of this question. Friends, if we will not know one another in heaven, then indeed death is the final separation. That means that the last time you were with your dear loved one will truly be the last time. That when you stood at the graveside to lay to rest the body of that one so precious to you, that is truly the end. And that one day soon we too will pass into that nameless land to join those anonymous who have gone on before us. Friends, our souls shrink at the thought that could be true. That the bonds so precious and dear to us are in this life only. On the great day of judgment, I will stand among total strangers if this view is true, if there's no future recognition. And that after the Lord's pronouncement on that day, every memory that we now possess having been wiped away and every bond having been severed, we will enter into heaven as strangers. You know, it must be admitted that if we studied the Scriptures and this proved to be true, it would greatly alter our concept of heaven and the life to come. We sing a song sometimes, if we never meet again this side of heaven, I'll meet you on that beautiful shore. It's not going to happen if this is true. It's not going to happen if there really is no future recognition. But you know, friends, I think that we, at least most of us, are unwilling to accept the conclusion that heaven will be full of people who are utter strangers, that there we will never be able to see and know those that we have loved and lost here. But secondly, it's hard even to visualize a place of perfect happiness as heaven will be, and it be stripped of what we surely view as one of the sweetest joys of our anticipation. What does the Bible tell us? When we sing about the glad and happy reunion just over there, is that a misguided desperation? Or does the Bible tell us that that is the case? I want to read you the words of Brother Guy N. Woods, because I cannot put it better than he did. He said, "Those who sleep in loneliness may take comfort in the fact that they sorrow not in vain, or as others who have no hope. The warmest assurances abound on the sacred page that we may confidently expect to mingle with, converse, and walk again with those that we have loved and lost in a land where songs will be infinitely sweeter, where hand clasps will be warmer than any we have ever experienced in this life, and where tears and heartaches and sorrows are unknown." Friends, I want to tell you that the Bible clearly teaches future recognition, that we will know each other on the other side of death. And it does it in a number of ways. First, the Scriptures teach that we will have memory after this life. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, we have a scene from the judgment in which people are arguing with God. As incredible as that is, we have people saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out demons or devils, and in your name done many wonderful works." You see, these people had memory of events that took place on this earth. In Luke chapter 16, in the account of the rich man and Lazarus, Abraham said to the rich man in verse 25, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are in torment." But notice what he says here. Abraham says to the rich man, "Remember." He tells the rich man, "Remember this earth." And so this fact is that there will be memory. And it points to the fact that we will have future recognition. But not only that, the biblical descriptions of death also lead us to this conclusion. In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8, I want you to listen to how the Bible describes the death of Abraham. Verse 8 says, "Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered unto his people." Now listen to that phrase. He was gathered unto his people. A phrase like that is used also to describe Ishmael's death in Genesis 35 and 29. Jacob's death in Genesis 49. The deaths of Moses and Aaron, Deuteronomy 32 and 50. Now that phrase cannot be referring to the burial of their bodies. It can't be that, because Moses was buried in a secret place in the valley in the land of Moab, far from the sepulchres of his ancestors. What then does that mean? He was gathered unto his people. Friends, it must be a reference to his spirit. His spirit was gathered unto his people. I think it's a sure allusion to the reunion after death. But not only is the indication of memory there and the descriptions of death, but also the hope that the Scriptures tie to death tells us we'll know one another in heaven. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, here is David grieving over the death of his child with Bathsheba. And in verse 23, he asks, "Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Now, what did David have in mind when he said, "I can't bring him back, but I'll go to him"? I think that David is telling us that he has hope for the future, a time when he anticipated seeing his child again. Many references of the Apostle Paul could be given. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul asked the Thessalonian Christians, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord? For you are our glory and joy." Somehow, Paul's hope and joy for the future was tied up in these Christians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul had a similar thought for the Corinthian brethren. He said they were going to bring him rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus. And so we have memory in the future. The Bible descriptions of death teach us that. Our hope, all of these things tell us that we'll know each other on the other side of eternity. But I also think the Bible plainly states this fact for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Some of the Christians in Thessalonica were concerned about their brethren, their loved ones who had died. The Apostle Paul wrote to them, beginning in verse 13, he says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," those who are dead, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Listen to verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Friends, if these words don't teach future recognition, then I don't know what does. Paul says, don't worry about your loved ones who have died. You're going to see them again, and you'll ever be with the Lord. So take comfort in this fact. Will we know one another in heaven, those who are faithful and those who are there? Friends, the Bible says that we will, and it's one of the beautiful things that we look forward to. The question today is, will you be prepared to go there?